This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the show. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. Lot to discuss here. A day after the beginning of the Combine. Howie had a lot to say. Nick Sirianni had a lot to say. We'll unpack it all over the next 4 hours. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen. It's a PSA. Don't mess around and get sick thinking it's summertime. I saw some of y'all out there today. Y'all got your little, you know, your little Lululemons on and running around with your T-shirts.
Lululemons in February.
Yeah, running around with your little T-shirts and stuff on. Don't mess around and get sick.
Well, you know what happens. Every time around this year, it's like that fake spring. People are like, I'm bringing the shorts out, T-shirts.
Tell you, everybody's excited about it. I get it because I almost did the same thing yesterday, man. It's like just being outside and, you know, the weather's breaking. But the reality is I still saw some snow piles that are out there. So it's still, it's still cold outside. So don't mess around and get sick.
Take it easy is what you're saying?
Yeah, just slow your roll a little bit.
Well, I could use that phrasing for everyone out there who is going head over heels for the Philadelphia Eagles to acquire Myles Garrett. All right, Howie spoke yesterday, and there's a lot for us to unpack. We'll get into it. Yeah, I liked what Sirianni said about the tush push and all that yesterday, but the biggest story right now in the NFL involving the Eagles and potentially other teams in the NFC is this Myles Garrett sweepstakes. And when they get to the combine, we'll have Elliott on with us at 12 today. Elliott always says, like, this isn't really only a draft event. It's actually an off-season event with the draft kind of in the background, right? Because all the GMs are there. They're talking. And yesterday, Howie Roseman was asked, and while he did make sure to say he's not allowed to talk about anyone under contract, listen to how he framed it when asked about, you know, a player like Myles Garrett, if he's potentially available.
How many years have you been doing this?
You know, long enough to know I shouldn't ask, but...
Yeah, I figured. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about anyone under contract with another team. I think that, you know, one thing that I can promise our fans is that there will not be a player that's available that we won't study, that we won't look at and see if it can help the team. Sometimes those opportunities work and you're able to do that, and sometimes they don't.
All right, so Howie Roseman, well, Elliott tried to get a good answer out of him. Howie, he tap danced a little bit as he had to because he can't say, hey, we're after Myles Garrett or hey, we're not. And I know a lot of people, I would imagine, and we'll find out today at 215-592-9494. I think a lot of our audience who is going to want to go all in for Myles Garrett.
All in. I get that.
I get it. And he's a tremendous player, and he'll be in Canton one day. And if you told me right now Myles Garrett is on the Eagles, I'd be so excited to watch him play football and say, we got to watch Myles Garrett play because he's a great player. But I just want to get in front of this before this gets crazy. I'm not all in.
I mean, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm not all in on Myles Garrett. Look, he is a great football player, and adding him could make the Eagles certainly even better for 2025. But I look at this as a bigger picture thing. Number one, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl without Myles Garrett. They didn't need that kind of one singular player to win. They did it with depth. They did it with a team. Go back to the Super Bowl. Where were those sacks coming from? Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Jalix Hunt. It wasn't coming from just one guy. And I look at the two Super Bowls the Eagles have won. They've won two of them, Hugh. You know how many of those two? had a double-digit sack guy during the regular season?
None.
Neither. Their leader in 2017 had 9.5 sacks. That was Brandon Graham. Their leader this year was Josh Sweat with 8. They haven't needed a dominant one guy to win the Super Bowl. What they've had is a rotation. What they've had is a team. They've had depth. And taking a trade for Myles Garrett, which I'm guessing would include 2 first-round picks, would hurt their depth. And then, Hugh, I'm curious where you come down on this. I mean, you obviously have experience living literally this life. But when I look at it, I went back and tried to find pass rushers kind of like Myles Garrett, right? Mm-hmm. Like great players, and that you see their stats and what they did in their 20s, because Myles Garrett is 29 now, right? He's about to exit his prime and go into the whatever stage he's going to be
in.
Yeah,
he's different, though.
He is different. I know that. But when you look at great, I'm not looking at the average pass rusher. I'm looking at great ones. Von Miller, his last double-digit sack season was his 8th year. DeMarcus Ware, after his 8th season, he averaged 7 sacks per year. Simeon Rice, 0.
Those are still pretty good.
They're but you're not paying 2 first-round picks for 7.
I know what you're saying.
Simeon Rice had 0 All-Pros after his 8th year in the NFL. And I went and looked. So Myles Garrett has 4 first-team All-Pros. Like, he's an all-timer, right? 4 first-team All-Pros first 8 years. He's one of 11 guys to do that. Reggie White is one of them. You go
Bruce,
back.
I would say Bruce Smith.
Deacon Jones. Like, the best of the best,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like different guys that are different.
Of those different guys, those special 11 guys he's with, 10 of them fell off pretty quick after their 8th year in the NFL. They fell off. About half of them fell off considerably. I like Myles Garrett. He's a great football player. But if the cost is 2 first-round picks, if the cost is all in, Hugh Douglas, I'm not all in. I would take him, but I'm not trading 2 first-round picks for Myles Garrett. The Eagles have the best team. They did that by building depth, not just one great player. Hugh, where do you come down? I mean, this has got to be tugging at your heartstrings. One, you're a pass rusher. 2, I know you're a big Myles Garrett fan. You've said it on the show many times. Hugh, are you all in for Myles?
Can I be allowed to long talk
a
little bit? Because this is going to give you an idea of where I'm coming at from this. Because my whole life, I've never had a 71 Chevelle. I want a 71 Chevelle SS. 5-speed. I want a manual. And I've been looking for one. And I found a couple, Joe, that I really like. They're really nice cars. The paint has been done. The frame-off restorations and all that. But every time that I talk to somebody about how much they want for that car, it's way out of my price range. It's more money than I'm comfortable spending for a car that old, if you get what I'm saying.
Sure.
You know, even though it's a frame-off restoration, brand new motor, updated amenities and all the other stuff, it's just that price that they're asking for it. I can't bring myself to pay that price. I just can't do it. You know, if I was still playing, maybe. But as an older gentleman and you know, planning for the future and things like that, that is just not the investment that I'm willing to make. And I tell that story because this is kind of the same situations with Myles Garrett. We have benefited tremendously from the young players, the young contributors. I was about to say young contributors, the young contributors to our football team. They've done a hell of a job. Howie's done a hell of a job drafting. Now, I know that there's been years where it's been a little lean when it comes to draft picks that help the team out and things of that nature. But this last year, you could call it an anomaly. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But these young players that came in and helped us win the Super Bowl, I can't get that out of my mind. And when you talk about a player like Myles Garrett, he's similar to that 71 Chevelle that I want. Beautiful car. Gives you everything you want. Everyday driver. You could drive it every day. You're not going to have any problems with it, any of that. But the price that I have to pay to get that, I can get something that's probably not as nice, probably doesn't cost as much, but it's still, you know, decent. And that's what I look at when I look at these young players, man. We've benefited tremendously from these young players coming in and doing the things that they did for us last year. Cooper DeJean. Just for an example, if we give away our second-round draft pick, there's no Cooper DeJean on this team. There's no Jalix Hunt. There's no Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Now, I know his contribution ain't as great as those other guys.
But DeJean
but he
and
still,
Hunt, yeah,
still
and Quinyon,
contributed.
Yeah, of course.
And when I look at the NFL and the way that this coaching staff is built right now, they've done a great job of grooming these young guys. Milt Jones. Milt Williams, I said Milt Jones. Milt Williams, old teammate of mine. Milton Williams. They've done a great job of grooming and coaching these young guys up. Now, if you like, you go get Myles Garrett. I mean, hell, he's a hell of a player, but how long are you going to have that player? How much is going to cost you?
Right, and how long will he still? Because the Myles Garrett of today is the Myles Garrett 3 years from now, 2 years from now, is probably not the same guy. That's the reality of when players get to this age at that position. I mean, that's just what happens. It's like that with any position, but certainly great edge rushers, they start losing it a little bit at the age of around 30, 8th, 9th, 10th year in the NFL. This isn't, like, if Myles Garrett was 25 years old, I'd be willing to give up everything for him because I think the next 5 years would be his best years. We might be about to exit his
prime.
I
feel like
the
juice ain't worth the squeeze.
That's a good way to put it. 215-592-9494. We've spent a lot of time thinking in the last few weeks, could the Eagles be the new Chiefs, the next Chiefs? Could they take the crown? I actually think this is the opposite of what the Chiefs would do. The Chiefs became a dynasty when they subtracted a great player and added more depth. When they said, see you, Tyreek Hill. We're taking picks for you and not paying you. And we're going to take those picks and draft Trent McDuffie and draft George Kolaftis around our expensive guys. The Eagles have expensive players. Jalen's going to be more expensive. AJ's expensive. Devontae's expensive. And guess what? In 2 years, Jalen Carter might be a $40 million player.
Yeah, that part.
So we're going to have another $40 million player and less depth around him? The two Eagles Super Bowls that we've seen in the last 7 years, they had depth as a pass rush. Not all pros. They had depth. We have Jalen Carter. I don't think they need Myles Garrett. I'm not going
all
in.
I like Myles, though. I mean,
I know you
he's
do.
A hell of a player.
I wonder if by the here's what's going to be fun today, because we're going to get everyone up here. 215-592-9494. We're going to find out the temperature of everyone today, post Howie speaking, the reality of the Browns maybe trading away. Myles Garrett is out there. I wonder if by the end of the show, Hugh will start to move towards he wants him. He really wants
him. I do want him, but like I said, I don't want to pay the price that I have to pay to get him.
Yeah. Now, complicating matters is if the Eagles don't get him, Hugh, he very well could end up with a team trying to block the Eagles from getting back to the Super Bowl. In fact, the team that may be all in to get him is the Washington Commanders. Can we hear that report ESPN yesterday? ESPN reporting on the Commanders, the Eagles, and the market for Myles Garrett.
Philadelphia Eagles, one of the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive teams on the trade market, will be looking for a pass rusher. Josh Sweat, the Super Bowl likely or close MVP, could be out. Myles Garrett, they would not want to see him go to the Washington Commanders, for example. If that was to gain traction, Howie Roseman would likely step in, try to make a deal that is too hard for the Cleveland Browns to refuse it.
All right, well, that certainly adds to the mix. I mean, you throw that in the kind of the pot here and stir it around, because if the Eagles don't go all in, perhaps the Commanders will. 215-592-9494. Should the Eagles be all in to trade for Myles Garrett? Kyle, what are you feeling?
I'm feeling like you two are so annoying today. I'm so disappointed, especially in Hugh. Very disappointed in Hugh Douglas today.
It's expected from me.
I'm always annoyed with you. Hugh, I thought, would maybe be on my side. I just thought we learned our lesson last season with Saquon Barkley, but I guess not. When great players become available, guys, you know what you do? You try to go get them. I don't care what the Chiefs did. We're the Eagles, okay? We're our own entity now at the top of the NFL, and we got there by making a big swing, something unconventional like this, and going to get Saquon Barkley last year. And make no mistake about it, Myles Garrett is a better player than Saquon Barkley is. Saquon Barkley, we're talking about, I don't even know what you're saying, Hugh. Saquon Barkley,
he doesn't care.
We're talking about him maybe making the Hall of Fame if he has another year like this.
Myles Garrett is already a Hall of Famer.
I know. Right? And he's only going to be 30 years old next season. He is the best defensive player in the league. I don't know why we're so satisfied with taking a step back next season. Like, do you guys want to repeat? Do you guys want to go win the Super Bowl again?
So I do want to repeat, but I also want the Eagles to have a chance to win the Super Bowl for the next 5 years.
Okay,
I think getting Myles Garrett,
getting wrapped up in the next 5 years, I think is just something that we can't control it no matter what happens this year.
But you can in some ways. Every asset you spend now is an asset you don't have in the future. So if they trade two ones, then it could hurt their chances 3 years from now.
At the end of the day, that's just two draft picks, right? Well, think about the Jalen.
Premium draft.
No,
left.
Joe, I understand that, but think about the way our team's built. It's Cooper DeJean in the second round. Like, Milton Williams was what? A third round pick.
Yeah,
like,
but
Josh Sweat was a fourth round pick. Cooper DeJean was a second round pick.
But he was a first round talent.
But it's also,
so what?
It's also
that's my point. You can find guys with first round talent later in the draft. Just because you give away your first round pick doesn't mean that's your only chance of getting a good player. Like, guys, also, think about it this way.
Kyle's fired up today.
I am, because I'm already so annoyed at the don't go get Myles Garrett people. Like, think about it this way. All those young guys that we got a lot out of this season, that we won the Super Bowl with, there's a very good likelihood, I hope this isn't the case, there's a very good likelihood that some of those guys played above a level that they'll ever play again in their career. And if you think about it this way, the success rate that we've had taking guys in the draft, that's going to regress back to the mean a little bit. It just probably will.
You know, Kyle, I appreciate your passion, but I look at it like this, too. You got a lot of contributions from guys defensively that were only in this system for a couple of months. And I think back to the time when Jim Johnson got here and how long it took us to gel and become a cohesive unit. It took us about a year. I mean, we were decent.
Well, so it's an outlier.
But wait a minute, listen to what I'm saying. You have some young guys on this team who in their first season in this defense thrived.
Mm-hmm.
They are still learning this defense. There's stuff that I can guarantee you that Vic Fangio hasn't put in yet that he could put in.
Yeah, maybe, but we don't know if those guys are.
Maybe
that's a great thing I'm saying, but maybe these guys can't handle more stuff.
No,
maybe they fall.
That's
a possibility.
No, Kyle.
We see rookies come in, play great, and then not all the time.
You're not hearing what I'm saying, though. He came in and he simplified the defense enough for them to grasp it and go play in it this year.
And they played great.
And they played phenomenal.
Right. But that's not a guarantee for next year, though.
But Kyle, listen to what I'm saying. It's only going to get better. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I don't think that's
I'm trying to tell you.
Well, no,
it's going to get better.
That's your opinion, though. Like, we don't know that that's the case.
But all right, let me add to this, because I think I don't know if it's going to get better or not. You might be right. He might be wrong. You might be right. But why were they so good? Was it one guy or was it their depth?
The collective.
Well, they've won two Super Bowls and neither team had a double-digit sack. I think we're looking at this wrong.
Then let's talk about the collective, because we're probably going to lose Josh Sweat. We're probably going to lose Milton Williams.
Totally.
We're probably going to lose Brandon Graham. That's a weak area of our defense right now.
I agree.
It was a weak area going into this season.
Yeah, and it's going to get weaker.
It became a strength.
But it's going to get weaker.
What we're doing by when we say all in, it means probably multiple first-round picks. And I don't know how much bigger the bidding could go.
It's going to get ridiculous.
Well, that's why I'm out. I'm not all in on him, because I don't think he's going to be worth that for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. I think his play is likely to fall off. So, Kyle, you mentioned the Saquon thing and learned from our lesson. That's probably an outlier. And I admitted I was wrong on that. NFL history tells us when a player gets to 30, they start to decline pretty fast.
But you know what Myles Garrett and Saquon Barkley have in common? They are outlier-type players in the NFL.
But
we're talking about guys at the peak of their position in the league.
But
they are outliers.
I think we forget before there was Myles Garrett, there was Von Miller, and there was DeMarcus Ware. Every era has three or four special players at the position. And they fell. So maybe Myles Garrett won't fall for 3 years, and maybe this all works out if they trade for him. But maybe next year he goes from 14 sacks to 9.
Well, okay, but so like, what if I sold it to you this way? If you got 12 sacks from Garrett next year, 10 the year after that, 8.5 the year after that, that to me is worth it. You pair that next to Jalen Carter next season, we're winning the Super Bowl again.
215-592-9494. Should the Eagles be all in to go get Myles Garrett? I say no. I'm not going to that length for a player that's about to be 30. One quick thing then to the phone lines. The Eagles are not shy, Hugh, about going for a big trade if they think there's a player worth it. Now, the Saquon thing is different, and I think this is what you were getting at when you mentioned, because he was a free agent.
He was a free agent.
He was just cap.
But
the Eagles have made big trades. They traded for Jason Peters. You know how old Jason Peters was when they traded for him? By the way, he retired yesterday. That's why it's in my head. He was 26.
Yeah.
They traded for A.J. Brown. Remember that? They traded a first-round pick and a third-round pick for A.J. Brown. You know how old A.J. Brown was, Hugh, when they traded for him? 24.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 years ago, the Eagles reportedly tried to trade for Jalen Ramsey before he went to the Rams. Do you know how old Jalen Ramsey was when they
25.
Tried? 25, exactly. 26, 25, 24. There is a blueprint to this. If you're going to trade a lot, go all in for a player, you do it for a 25-year-old. You don't do it for a guy that's about to play his age 30 season. I'm not all in. I'm sorry. I know everyone's dreaming on the Myles Garrett and Jalen Carter combination. I just watched the Eagles win the Super Bowl with Jalen Hunt, Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Milton Williams, and seven of them. Not two, because then one guy gets hurt and you have no depth and you can't get to the quarterback. I watched them do it with depth twice now. My mind on this kind of stuff has changed. I want a wave of pass rushers, not giving up assets, not giving up the contract for just one. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Should the Eagles go all in for Myles Garrett? Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy home day!
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Here's what's up. He looks all right. Hugh.
Yes.
Can I tell you how much I love our head coach? His press conference was epic. Pettiness, calling out that fraud McDermott.
No, I don't give a shit.
Not only him. Howie was a little petty with Chris Sims too.
Yeah, I liked
it. I appreciate
it. I thought it was Chris. It was my favorite Nick Sirianni press conference I've ever heard. I loved it. He was passionate, a little petty. I was proud of him yesterday.
That was grown folk petty right there.
Immediately, I smiled. I was like, I know Hugh is just so proud of our head coach.
What about Myles Garrett, Chris?
Be quiet, Kyle. We're talking to people that know what they're talking about.
Now, how about you get to the point?
How about Nick's credit card's got to be pretty hot after all that money spent on food and drinks. And okay, Kyle, so here's what happened, guys. I called in and I got flogged by Kyle.
Oh, it's one of those days.
That doesn't sound like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the tear today.
Yeah, he is. He's a little yipping, barking dog out there in the yard.
You know what? Shut up.
Yeah, let me tell you, Mr. Something, Kyle. Here's why you don't go and get Myles Garrett. You're not going to give up a ton of draft picks because that's what you're going to have to give up. You're going to overpay. He's going to want a new contract because you know how that's going to go. He's going to want to get an extension, get repaid, right? Set himself up like, he knows a little something about going to Jacksonville to do. And then he's turning 30 years old. You don't do all this. Guys, this in Howie we trust. This is not what Howie does. Howie's going to continue to draft Thundercats and grab a prove-it contract to fill it out. That's what he's done. That's what's got us to the Super Bowl. The Saquon Barkley contract is a total joke because that was, again, just money. It wasn't contracts. It's age difference as well. And then here's the other thing, guys. You don't give up the draft picks because the draft picks for a 30-year-old long-in-the-tooth player is a no-go. You don't drop the big money, give up the draft picks, give up all of your depth when you need that cash for the future because next year you got to give the biggest contract to the NFL defensive player in the history of the NFL, which is what is going to go on with Jalen.
Well, yeah, we're talking, next year, we're talking about probably, I could see a world where Jalen Carter and Chris Wiprecia asked for $30-plus million a year as a defensive lineman, 32, 33, 34.
Yeah.
Plus, to Chris's point, and this has been brought up a lot, Myles Garrett has zero guaranteed dollars left on his deal, which means if he
He's trying to get paid.
The next team that trades for him, whoever that is, the Eagles, Washington, Detroit, wherever he goes, it's probably a new deal attached, too. So it's not just the picks. It's the money. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Should the Eagles go all in for Myles Garrett? It's fun watching him rush the quarterback in an Eagles uniform. I know it would bring back the, the idea of, like, Seth and Clyde and all
Reggie
those.
And
Reggie.
Those, yeah.
I get it with him and Jalen Carter. I'm not going all in. I don't think it's worth it for a player at this age, and especially that they won without that kind of player on the edge. 215-592-9494. We'll play what Browns general manager Andrew Berry said yesterday about the situation. Are they going to trade him, or is he just playing some hardball here? And we'll get to a potential comp for Myles Garrett and his age heard right here from a WIP caller last night. This is going to be interesting to unpack. 215-592-9494, a midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So Myles, as you guys have all heard me say, he's a huge part of our organization, really good person. He's an awesome player. Understand the trade requests and everything, but our stance really has not changed. We can't imagine a situation where not having Myles as a part of the organization is best for the Browns.
Sounds like Lions season to me. Welcome back. It's a midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Joe, the voice there of Andrew Berry, general manager of the Browns, Hugh, who used to work here under Howie Roseman. Feels like he is telling himself that until he has no choice. I do think they're going to trade Myles Garrett here, Hugh. If he's saying he's not coming back, and we saw him, he was down at the NFL, the Super Bowl, right? The Radio Row. He was jumping on any show that would have him to talk about how he would fit in with that particular team. I think Andrew Berry is trying to convince himself and Miles that they could work it out. They're not working it out.
No, he's also operating from a position of not being in so much power.
No.
So he doesn't want to, you know, show his hand or anything like that. So he's going to say that. But if Miles starts to do stuff that lets him know for sure he's not going to be there, like not showing up to OTAs and stuff like that, yep, then they're going to not have a choice.
Yeah, they're going to have to move him. And the Eagles might be front of the line. 215-592-9494. Should the Eagles be all in for Miles Garrett? I don't think so. He's a great football player, but he has just had his age 29 season. I'm not paying two first-round picks and probably a new contract for a 30-plus-year-old that, let's be real, his best football is probably behind him. Kyle thinks we're crazy today. I do wonder if the audience and Kyle are going to sway Hugh before the show is over today. I mean, because I know deep down, like
I
that car.
Miles,
he's so on the fence.
I know, because every time in the last year that Miles Garrett's come up, you like have a smile on your face because you love the player.
He's a monster.
Yeah,
man.
He's a great player.
He's a throwback, and I like him, but boy, that, you know, I like nice things. I'm not going to lie, but I don't like paying for them.
I
would rather have them given to me, but that doesn't happen most times.
Especially not in the NFL.
Nobody's going to give me a 71 Chevelle. That's fully a frame-off restoration. So, you know, you got to pay for that. But I don't want to pay for it.
It's always a battle that I have to fight with people who try to outsmart themselves. It's this simple. You go get great players when they're available. Great players make your team better. We just saw this with Saquon Barkley.
In the moment.
Yeah, but I want to repeat.
Okay, but
or you develop them.
Well, you can develop them.
That typically takes longer to do.
How long did it take Jalen Carter to develop?
2 years.
That's not a long time, Kyle.
But I want to win the Super Bowl next year. So I can't count on somebody being just ready to go next season if they're a rookie.
How long did it take Jalen Hunt to become that guy?
The entire season, right? But again, he's an outlier. You can't just count on these things to happen every year.
You can't, but you got a good coach. Like, the one thing that I think the Eagles have that really sticks out to me now that I didn't see early on because I'm not there every day. They have some damn good coaches, man.
Yeah.
They got some damn good coaches.
I think the difference in the way I think and Kyle thinks is how much next year matters. I think if the Eagles had lost the Chiefs or in the playoffs somewhere, I might feel differently because I might feel like they got to capitalize. They won. I'm thinking more in the next 5 years. Let me give you a quick example. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, Von Miller was what this guy is now, right? He was the best edge rusher in the NFL. The Eagles were a playoff-ish team, 2019, coming off of 18, 17. They won the Super Bowl in 17. If they had traded two first-round picks for Von Miller, then you know who's not here? Devontae Smith, who has the dagger in the Super Bowl. So, like, yeah, it might not all matter, and they could win the Super Bowl next year with Miles Garrett, but we're also taking the chance away to win the Super Bowl 3, 4, 5 years from now.
I'm going to twist that exact example around on you.
Oh, go ahead.
The Rams did make the move to get Von Miller. He not only helped them win the Super Bowl, but they took Puka Nakua with a fifth-round pick.
Right,
you can build later in the draft.
You can, but it's easier to get great players in the first round.
Yeah, sure. That's not the end-all, be-all. It's not the only way you get good players.
We're not in the same situation as the Rams are, because they had...
They were desperate. They didn't win.
Yeah, and they wanted... He made it clear that he was trying to get Aaron Donald a Super Bowl win before he left the game.
I want to win again. Another way to get good players is, besides the first round, you trade for Miles Garrett.
Who's a great player now, and 3 years from now, he might not be.
But who? Since we're talking about bills, this reminds me of vehicles. Whose build do you think is better, the way the Eagles are doing it or the way the Rams did it? Because the Rams are in purgatory right now, and they're about to go back into purgatory.
The Rams have stayed pretty competitive. The Rams were the team that gave us the most trouble in the postseason this year because they were able to draft well.
And they're talking about they gave the quarterback permission.
We don't have a 36-year-old quarterback. Our window is theoretically more open.
You know why? Because we've done a great job of grooming our young guys. And with this window, like, this is a chess move. This is not checkers. You're the move to get Miles Garrett, to be honest, it's a checkers move.
It's checkers.
Well, so that's a checkers move.
We have this conversation with the Phillies, and we did it last year, where it's like, Dave Dombrowski's telling us we're not going to make big moves because we want to extend this window. Nobody's satisfied with that right now.
I get that
they haven't won, but we wanted them to take a big swing and get somebody here last year that could have put them over the top.
Absolutely. All right, so listen, I got a lot on my mind. I'm looking at all these numbers with all of these edge rushers that reach this age, and most of them fall off pretty precipitously, like fast. They go from all pro to, they're fine. Josh Sweat had 8 sacks this year. If Miles Garrett has 8 sacks in 2 years, we're all cool with him making $45 million? No, we're not. We're saying this guy's overpaid.
If we win the Super Bowl next year, then
well,
yes.
But you can't guarantee that. Here's what I know. I've seen many a pass rusher fall off in their 30s. And I was listening to WIP last night, and once in a while, a caller brings up an excellent point. Listen to this last night. I heard this. I'm like, you know what? It happened, and it could happen, you know, with this Garrett situation. Listen to this last night on WIP.
So he has a lot of tread on the tires. I mean, he plays pretty much every snap. So it wouldn't surprise me if – I'm not going to say, like, he's going to become a nobody when he turns 30, but if he goes from a 16, 17 sack guy to when he turns 30, he dips down to, you know, maybe 12, and then when he hits 31, he goes down to 9 or 10. Like, you see that a lot with defensive linemen. That once they hit 30, they really fall off fast. I mean, you saw it with Reddick this year. Now, it was a little bit of a different circumstance. He missed a lot of the year, and he went to the Jets was a weird situation. But, I mean – he went from like an 11, 12 sack guy with the Eagles to he hit a half a sack. Mm-hmm. And we saw, remember Hugh Douglas back in the day when he was with the Eagles? They let him go at 30. He goes to Jacksonville and he completely falls off. Like, sometimes you see these guys when they hit that age 30 on the defensive line, they really fall off.
Does Hugh do anything for us?
First of all, what you mean, remember Hugh Douglas, fool? I work here. I've been working here for 3.5 years. What you mean? You listen to the station?
I think he remembers Hugh Douglas, the player, because this is a different man that's in your home.
But no, you know what's funny? Because last night, shout out to the IT guys because I brought my computer in so they could help me figure out what I'm going to do with it. And I heard that. And I was like, he ain't lying.
No, he's not.
But in my defense.
Oh, here we go.
In my defense, I went to Jacksonville hurt, and I was told that I was going to be allowed the chance to get healthy, and that did not happen. So, you know, that's not an excuse because it probably would have played out. Mm-hmm. I'd have probably had like five sacks instead of the three that I had. I'd have probably had five or six, but that would have been better for me than the three.
You were a few years older than 30, too, right? Like, you weren't 30 on the nose like Myles Garrett.
No, I was like 20. I was like 29, 31, something like that.
At Jacksonville?
I was almost there.
It was after your what? So you came in the league 95 and you went there after 02?
Yeah.
So after your eighth year in the NFL, you know what this just
you
was?
You were 32 in Jacksonville.
But it was his eighth year in the league, right? Because okay. you came in the league later.
Came in a little older.
This was just Myles Garrett's eighth year in the NFL. Okay.
But I was also banged up because we came off, because that was the year that I was here and I wasn't practicing the last couple of weeks because I was hurt. But still, I get your point. And,
I mean, you had 12 and a half sacks at 31, Hugh.
Yeah, but it was one of those things where, again, I was hurt in Jacksonville. Not making excuses.
No.
What happened?
I'm saying, like, so your age 31 season, you had 12 and a half sacks. This year is going to be Myles Garrett's age 30 season. And, you know, no offense to you, Myles Garrett's a better player than you were in the NFL.
He's better than me. He just got longer arms, man.
Well, how about we put it this way? Because he has longer arms, he's better than you.
That makes me feel better.
Okay. All right, we'll just do that. Go ahead.
I know you keep saying that we just won the Super Bowl with the young guys, and like, it feels like we're still a little bit in the honeymoon phase with the way that we just won the Super Bowl. And trust me, I am too. I'm soaking it all in. But let me give you a few reasons why I don't think it's just as easy as we can do this again next season and we'll be okay. We had 21 of 22 starters healthy for the Super Bowl, right? And I understand that we did in 2022, but we can't just go into next season and count on that, because think about the 2023 season after that. We were a lot more banged up. We're going to lose these guys in free agency, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, and if Washington or Detroit gets this guy,
it's a problem.
That knocks us down a peg. We might not even win our own division Washington gets him.
It's some people might be angry hearing that, but you're right. I don't disagree with you on that. I'm not saying I think Jalex Hunt is better, or Nolan Smith is better. My eyes are just open now that maybe this is the way to build a pass rush to win the Super Bowl. The
Eagles is wide open.
Wide open. They've won it twice now, and neither time did they have a great edge rusher. I mean, they had seven guys that could get to the quarterback.
Well, Hassan Reddick had 16 and a half sacks the year that we went 22.
But the two they won, right? Like, their best edge rusher was BG in 17. Their best edge rusher this year was probably Josh Sweat.
But that defense got toasted in the Super Bowl.
Well, okay. And they still won.
But they still won.
That was Nick Foles.
They gave him 500 yards.
We didn't win. Look, I get BG made the play, but you don't come out of that saying our pass rush won that Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, BG made the play, but they had a good defense during the year. This year, they had the best defense without a great edge rusher. Like, I don't know if you, I think you need a great pass rush.
Yeah,
I don't think you need a great edge rusher. And if Myles Garrett just fell off a tree and was on the Eagles' defense, I'd be so excited. But it's not that. What you're doing is you're subtracting from the depth to add a great player, and I don't want to do it. Not at this age. Let's go to the phone lines here. Aaron is up on WIP. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
Good, Aaron. What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to give you, if you let me, a little bit of long talk from start to finish. Is that okay, Hugh?
Yeah, go for it.
All depends, man. Keep it interesting. Just keep it interesting.
All right. Hey, I just want to thank you guys. I've been a long-time WIP listener, and I just started calling in a couple weeks, and you guys, favorite show. Keep it fun, and I really enjoy it. So I just want to say thank you for
that. Well, we thank you, Aaron, for being a listener and a caller. Aaron, what do you got today for us?
All right. So I am all for bringing in Myles Garrett. I think, just like Kyle said, I agree 1,000,000%. You're going to lose Milton Williams. You're going to lose Josh Sweat. You're going to possibly even lose Zach Bond. So I think, why not bring him in? If Howie can figure out how to keep him under the cap, pay him, figure out how to get two or three good to great years out of him, pair up those two monsters, and then you know, continue this run.
Yeah, well, so the idea of the two monsters together, and I know you mean Jalen Carter and Myles Garrett, that is the one thing that, as I say how I feel today, I do have in the back of my mind, like I am picturing it, Hugh, those two together might be the best combination of interior pass rush and the outside. Since I would say maybe
Reggie and Jerome.
Yeah, and then maybe after that in the NFL, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice. Like, it's rare you get two kind of like Hall of Fame talents.
Yeah, I was thinking Reggie and Jerome.
Yeah,
though.
But it's a fair one. Aaron, that is enticing to imagine those two going after the quarterback together. I'm with you on that.
And also, guys, too, if you lose two, just say you have to give up two first-round picks, they're somewhere in between 29 and 32, correct?
Unless something goes bad next year. Yeah, sure, right.
Something goes really wrong. You should be able then to trust Howie to draft anywhere between rounds 2 and 7, right?
You should, but it takes away his biggest leverage point in every draft, in the next two drafts. Like, his first round pick, he can move up, he can move down, you know, you can get a good player. Like, you take those away, that to me, that's a lot.
It's just Myles Garrett is such a freak in nature that it's just so enticing to bring him in.
it is. And Aaron, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. But I think we're thinking about the Myles Garrett that is. We don't know the Myles Garrett that will be over the next 3 years. Like, we could guess it, but that's a projection. And again, whether you want to care about the past or not, a lot of guys, and not just Hugh, but we're talking about like the best ever pass rushers on the edge. They seem to fall off all around this age.
See,
said that about Saquon last year.
But one Saquon trumps 10 of the greatest edge rushers of all time.
Okay, but so here's a big thing I think that you missed and a lot of people missed with the Saquon thing. Saquon came from a bad Giants team
and got
with a bad offensive line. Myles Garrett's coming off a bad Browns team with no like real complement in the middle of that defense. So that could prolong his career or prolong his peak with the Eagles if he plays next to Jalen Carter.
In all fairness, that's not the same comparison because you're talking about a running back who had multiple offers to go somewhere else and came here because he looked at his potential to get, you know, to win a lot of games.
Well, that's exactly what Garrett's doing.
Myles Garrett is going to the highest bidder.
No, he said he wants to win.
He wants to win.
He's not going back.
But he wants to get paid as well.
But he's leaving because he wants to win.
The strength of this Philadelphia Eagles team, in my opinion, is, yes, you have some guys that are hired guns or whatever. You go out and get some mercenaries. You got a few of those. But when you look at the core of this team, they've done a tremendous job of grooming and developing their young players. And when you talk, and we all talk about it, oh, it's Howie season. He gets draft picks that work out and we have success with. You're taking away some of his power when you go out and you give up as much as you give up for a guy like Myles Garrett.
You know what everyone's going to say if we get Myles Garrett? Howie season, baby.
Well, of course they are. I mean, I get that. And look, they could repeat next year. They're the favorite right now. If they get Myles Garrett, they might even be a bigger favorite. They probably would be. The odds would probably shift a little bit. They'd be even a bigger favorite. But I'm okay with them trying to be the team that wins 4 Super Bowls in 12 years
guarantees us going back to the Super Bowl. That's what we're saying.
I think it gives us by far a better chance than just than drafting a kid with number 32.
Not a guarantee.
No, so, of course it's not a guarantee. But would you not admit there's
that's
a
how
way
we're acting? We're acting like Myles Garrett guarantees us to go to the Super Bowl.
No, I think both of us are relenting to the fact that nothing is like we could win 4 games next year. I have no idea what's going to happen, but. Who gives you a better chance of going back, Myles Garrett or some kid we pick at 32? That might not even be a defensive end.
That's just like saying, like Cooper DeJean, nobody knew his impact. You don't know. We're all talking about the unquantifiables. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Cooper DeJean is more unlikely than the like reigning three-time All-Pro Myles Garrett coming to this defense.
I agree with that, but I just is it worth it for the big picture? That's where I'm.
I look at it like this.
They just won the Super Bowl without Myles Garrett. They don't need him.
They're not going to do that again.
As much as I like Myles Garrett and would love to have him here at a reasonable price, I'm more confident in this coaching staff and their ability to get the most out of whomever they draft and to be productive in what they're trying to get them to do.
Can I throw one more thing in there?
Yes.
What if Vic Fangio goes to Howie's desk and says, I need Myles Garrett?
Now, that's something totally different.
No, not for me.
It's different. It's different in the sense that that's who he wants.
I can't imagine Vic not wanting Myles Garrett.
It still has to fit financially.
It has to fit big picture. I don't view the Eagles as a team that is like, oh, we have to do this right now. They just won the Super Bowl. What they have to do is keep their window open as many years as they can.
I'm not satisfied.
Steve in Egg Harbor Township. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, I agree with you guys, man. You and I can't even remember his name.
Hugh Douglas.
Hugh Douglas, that's it. I'm sorry, you. I agree with you guys. I'm not giving up the farm for anybody. We won the Super Bowl. If we can get this guy with those draft picks and have to give him a new contract, why can't we keep most of our guys then? The salary cap is going up, as far as I heard, mid-20 millions. We have $11 million under the cap. And with Howie's wizardry, we can get that to 50, 55. We could definitely, in my opinion, keep three out of the four. Then all our draft picks. And as far as I'm also hearing the defensive fronts in this draft are really, really good all the way into the middle of the second round. So, I mean, why can't we just stack as long as we keep picking from the good conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC, which I call the NFL, you know, the D-League of the NBA. Is the SEC and the Big Ten where 38% of NFL players come from. That's what I'd be doing.
Well, I would too. And Steve, I think that's the key to sustaining this for years to come. If they keep getting good young players here, like, you know, we do this thing, and Steve, we preach the phone call. Howie could do anything. But there's probably a bigger picture to what Howie does that maybe we miss with this. Like, why can he do anything with the cap? Because he probably limits how many of these super contracts he gives out at once. I mean, at some point, if you have Jalen Carter and Myles Garrett and maybe Quinyon Mitchell in a couple years and Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and the offensive lineman, you might not have the depth anymore. Like, there might be a limit to, okay, I can move this money around if I give out six of these contracts. But once you give out seven, eight, nine, that could hurt their depth.
Well, but something we also know that Howie does is when there's a great player available, he makes the move. A.J. Brown cost him a first-round pick, and you know what they ended up doing? They paid him.
Yep.
They drafted Devontae Smith, and they paid Devontae Smith, too.
I agree with you, but the difference is, just like when they got Jason Peters, he was 26. When they got A.J. Brown, he was 24. I'm not anti-trading picks for great players. I'm anti-doing it when they're about to be 30 years old. To me, the juice, you used the phrase earlier.
But the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
Yeah, like My guess is, and if I'm wrong on this, then I'll be wrong. But my guess is, based on the way it works all the time in the NFL, his next 3 to 4 years will be far less great than his last 3 to 4 years.
I forgot that you're Joe Banner, Gilio.
Well, then call me.
Joe Banner, Gilio.
You know what? I'll be Joe Banner. I don't want to be Joe Banner, but I guess I am today.
Didn't win anything.
He did not, but you know what? He caught Howie. I mean, like, let's not pretend Howie got all these ideas out of thin air. He learned from Joe Banner. Randy in Jersey. He's like an evolutionary Joe. What's up, Randy?
Hey, how you doing? I'm gonna change you and Hugh's mind.
Okay, go for it.
Here we go. Milton's gone. All right, We ain't going to find out if he's worth the bag he's going to get until he's on another team, or he should give some of that money back to Jalen Carter.
Okay.
The other thing is if you put Myles Garrett on the end of that line, and you could stick me at 50 years old and 300 pounds, I'm going to get pressure in Milton Williams' position with that guy over there. All right. Second of all, we kick them two first rounders out of here. We ain't going to have the money anyway. We got to get prepared to pay some of these other young guys soon. All right. We got Myles Garrett for 2 years. Before we have to decide whether we keep him, and he wants another contract, and he's going to be on a team that's
I don't agree with that point. I think that he's going to get a new contract when he goes to his next team. He's not playing for zero guaranteed money.
Yeah, but he's going to be playing. He's got 2 years on this contract.
You're right, but there's zero guaranteed dollars left in the contract.
He wants some guaranteed money. Yeah, he wants some upfront money.
When great players have zero guaranteed.
How he's good at kicking that down the road and getting them paid.
Okay.
All right, the other thing is you can't discredit our medical staff and what they do. Well, I can give you one player's name, Brandon Grant. We've had a medical staff here that keeps guys fresh no matter what their age is, and we can't take that away from them. You get this guy over here, and he ain't got the miles you think he does. He ain't playing in the playoffs for the Cleveland Browns.
He has played a lot of football.
And he's been to the playoffs.
We got to keep Isaiah Rodgers, and we got to make Vaughn a priority, and this defense will be locked up for a long time.
Yeah, well, they're going to be a good defense no matter what they do this offseason. They're going to be good next year.
Well,
come on.
But will they be number one defense carry you to the Super Bowl type defense?
Probably not.
Yeah,
they were going to be the number one defense this year?
Well,
no.
But
a good point.
But to counter that, what happens usually when you're the number one defense? How often are you the number one defense again next year?
When you're the number one defense, you get pilfered. Like, they're going to lose
a
lot of people, and they know that.
But so they're probably not going to be as good next year.
The structure is going to be there, and the structure is going to be sound. I think that... You know, this is the thing that we have to realize, man, that when you win a Super Bowl, your team is going to get pillaged.
Yes.
It's going to get pillaged.
It happened 2 years ago, and they didn't even win.
The way that you replenish the ranks, you go out and get some young guys, and you groom them, and you get the guys. The good thing about this draft is that Vic Fangio is going to be at the combine, and he's going to pick and choose the guys that he wants to fit his system.
No doubt. 215-592-9494. We'll hit everyone's phone call today on Myles Garrett. Should the Eagles go all in to get this guy? I say no. He's a great player now. But there's been plenty of great pass rushers. Before there was Myles Garrett, there was Von Miller. Before him, there was DeMarcus Ware. We could do this for every 5 years, 10 years in the NFL. And almost all of them fell off really fast around this age. I'm not trading two ones and going all in. Are you? 215-592-9494. Also, more from the Combine yesterday. A very interesting quote from Howie about what the Eagles fans should expect this offseason and how it relates to the ability to re-sign some of these free agents. We'll unpack this quote next. Your calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.